Congress has a little more than a week to pass a budget, and it's not looking good.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. Yet again, a stalemate in Washington is figuring into the global economy. With a budget deadline of October 1st, Republicans and Democrats continue to be far apart on a measure that would avert a government shutdown, the effects of which would pile on to financial troubles already seen all around the world. From Washington, here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
Early this morning, Republicans in the House approved a short-term budget that has little chance of passing the Democratic-run Senate. Without a resolution by the end of next week, the federal government runs out of money. Irish economist David McWilliam says the looming impasse in the U.S. only adds to global market worries about Europe's own financial crisis.
All this tends to elevate the significance of stalemate in the United States. The reason being, if the United States can't show leadership, well, then the Europeans' fracturing looks quasi-normal. And people say, well, what do you expect? The markets get incredibly jittery.
The Senate is expected to reject the House-passed budget later today. And even when a compromise is reached over disaster funding, this budget agreement only lasts until the middle of November. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
As if the global economy needed anything else to worry about today, the World Trade Organization revised down its growth forecast for worldwide trade this year, calling the global economic outlook increasingly uncertain, their words. Reporter Christopher Worth is with us now from London with the latest on why trade could be an ominous early indicator. Hi, Chris.
Hey.
So why is world trade dropping like this?
Well, the World Trade Organization is more or less pointing the finger at, and no big surprise here, the European debt crisis and the problems in Greece. So most of the slowdown is in Europe and its biggest trading partner, the U.S. But this has a domino effect. With fewer Americans and Europeans buying fewer tablet computers, for example, countries like China sell fewer of them.
So is this bad news? I mean, does this mean we're heading into another global recession?
Well, Steve, you know, trade is one of the most important barometers of global economic health. I mean, think about the cargo hold under your feet when you fly in an airplane. That's not just for your suitcase. Airlines use that space to ferry goods all over the world. Before these recent concerns, projections had been that there would be plenty of demand for that space. But this week, IATA, the International Air Transport Association, says those cargo holds are flying around half empty. So to answer your question about another global recession, I spoke with Brian Pierce. He's an economist at IATA.
Trade is a good indicator because when, at the end of 2008, world economies started to get into real trouble, we saw world trade shrink by a quarter, a dramatic collapse. Now, that hasn't happened yet.
So not yet, Steve. Mm-hmm. Not the most reassuring of messages this morning.
All right. Christopher Worth reporting from London for us. Chris, thank you.
Hey, thanks, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are lower again, even after yesterday's big sell-off, down about 1% on average. Asian markets fell again today as well. He didn't even last a year. Hewlett-Packard CEO Leo Apotheker is out, and the woman who would be California governor, had she not lost, former eBay CEO Meg Whitman, is in. Wall Street yesterday, markets lost way more than 3%. The Dow fell 391 points to close at 10,733.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Allianz, providing solutions to help grow and protect retirement income through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com.
The 60s-era drama Pan Am debuts on ABC this Sunday. It is a lavish production and one of many examples this fall of how Hollywood is relying on the small screen to pay the bills. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
Pan Am has all the makings of a big-budget movie. A well-known actress, Christina Ricci, flashy special effects, and punchy dialogue.
Can we roll out, gentlemen? I'm getting tired of waiting.
Did you just fly in on a helicopter?
Well, I like to make an entrance.
So does this television show. The pilot, and by that I mean the first episode, reportedly costs $10 million to produce for less than an hour of television. That's more like movie budget territory. Edward J. Epstein is the author of The Hollywood Economist. He says TV is where the money is.
Television is the engine that drives the entertainment business.
Big studios are making fewer movies, not all of them make money, and slumping DVD sales also cut into profits.
So television now probably represents between 85 and 90% of the profits of the five largest studios.
A lot of those profits come from fees paid by cable operators and advertisers. Ad rates are up around 10% this year at the big networks. And analyst James Dix of Wedbush Securities says one TV series can have many lives.
And you can sell it to the broadcast networks, and then you can sell them to the cable networks in the U.S., and then the rising number of international networks.
There's also growing demand for TV shows to fill the digital libraries of Netflix, Hulu, and iTunes. Those second-run rights are usually more valuable for scripted shows, and there are a lot of new ones this season. Prime Suspect, Person of Interest, The Playboy Club.
You have actually seen a surprising commitment to scripted programming. And I think in part that relates to some of the economics.
But those economics all depend on whether Pan Am or any of these shows.
Ready, boys?
Take off in the first place. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, a family wants to sell their house in Colorado horse country. But the next door neighbor has a big sign on display with a message to prospective home buyers. Warning, three Rottweilers, loud parties, loud music, loud cars. Anti-horse fireworks. The home seller says the sign has deflected a lot of potential buyers. He may sue. The neighbor says, well, he's just exercising his First Amendment right to warn buyers about his lifestyle. And besides, he says, he could be helping sales by luring people like him. He says there are lots of loud, big dog-owning, partying folks who don't like horses. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Covering the economy is a 24-7, 365 kind of thing. So every Friday, we get a little help from our friends.
We were sinking fast, and we had no idea whether the world was coming to an end or not.
Oil goes high enough, people stop driving, they stop buying cars, they stop going out to eat.
There are bumps in the road, but consumers are starting to feel better.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Weekly Wrap, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.